Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
Before the bounce, thanks to the Ponds and Online Hotels and Team Tai Pao. Don't forget the Ponds with tasty takeaway meals available for dinner. 4 to 8 every night. It was Thursday today, and that means Chris Scott's media conference. He faced it a little bit earlier this morning. He did talk about selection. We didn't include those questions because I thought they'd be redundant. So apologies for that. But Reece Stanley and Jack Stephen, who he mentioned were chances to play, won't be in the side. Geelong have made two changes. Radicalea and Tui replacing Jenkins and Zach Guthrie. But the press conference started with Mitch Cleary asking about whether Joel Selwood would be back to take on the Tigers.
No, we're not, Mitch. We're going to be a little more conservative again. Look, he's in good shape. I understand if you would not completely believe me, but I think we've been pretty consistent in saying that we were going to wait to make sure he was absolutely right. Now, he's right this week, I think, but we're just going to put the extra week in the bank and bring him back for the Round 18 game.
Has he had any setback or any issue with it, or is it really just being conservative?
No, just really conservative. He's been managing issues over the last couple of years, actually. And as I've said ad nauseum, last year we played him when in retrospect we probably shouldn't. So we're doubling down on our decision this year to be a bit more conservative.
Are there any fears, Chris, that he won't be right for finals? Or are you just supremely confident on that?
No, there's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in his mind. That's part of our plan. He's been training really well. And we're just, if anything, we think that the chance for him to get extra sessions in and improve his fitness will be a better preparation for finals as opposed to playing this game. So I guess the proof will be in the pudding. I could understand if you don't completely believe me on it, but I wouldn't be speaking so confidently if there was doubt.
Just back on the goal, Chris, you said he was training well. Is he doing all the sessions? Is he on a modified program? What's he looking like generally?
Yeah, Josh, I'll flick you through his program at some stage with all the detail. Sorry, I'm being a smart aleck. I know you want more information, but I'm not going to give it to you. He's training unencumbered, has been for some time. We've got a plan that we think is going to leave him best placed to play really well in a final series. So that's the extent of the detail that I'm going to give you.
What are the risks that come with bringing two players in off at least 4 weeks, or in Gary's case, up to 10 weeks or so of just one game into finals and then a break before the first final? What are the risks that come with that when they're such two key players to your side?
Well, if they're such key players, then there's no risk. You bring them back because they're key players. But what are the risks? That there's a cohesion issue, but if they're so important and they're such good players, then I think that helps your decision making a fair bit. I don't want to argue against myself on that one.
Obviously, the last time you played Richmond, you were without Tom Hawkins. Chris, how big a factor, he's in such good form, will he be for your capacity to beat Richmond, do you think?
Well, we need to be firing on all cylinders to beat Richmond. They've been the best team in the comp for a long period of time now, and you need a lot of things to go right. So your key players are crucial to that. We'd prefer not to look back too much to the last time we played them. It was a long time ago, and the circumstances are quite different. They've got a few challenges with their personnel as well. Some talk Grimes might come back, but Asprey's still not back. But having said that, the players they've brought in to play those roles, Bolter in particular and Broad as well, are really capable players. So they depend on them and we depend on Tom. So I think, yeah, that's going to be a significant part of the game.
Does a win against them on Friday night mean anything much at all if you meet again in a few weeks' time?
I think it's always hard to tell. I think those things become much clearer in retrospect. I think our best policy is to try to play as well as we can. We don't really know where the ladder positions are going to fall either. I'm certain that winning will help more than losing. But we'll know how crucial the game was in the context of the season after the fact. And then there's the intangibles. I do think it helps putting in a good performance against a team if it pans out that you get to play them again. But I don't think it'll be a disaster. I think you know, whichever team loses, you know, won't completely dismiss their chances if they get the opportunity next time.
Chris, if I take you back a month, you were very bullish about Mackay Cockatoo and to the point that we thought he might play in that little sphere where you have the two Adelaide teams playing each other. What's changed in regards to him now, probably now being unlikely to see AFL action this year?
What's changed? He, which I'll let the cat out of the bag, probably shouldn't have, that he has a baby on the way with his partner, and that's influencing his thinking. And he has a wrist issue which requires surgery that we've been trying to find a way through over the last couple of weeks to give him the option of playing for us this season. And that hope is all but extinguished now, unfortunately. So that's disappointing to us and Nakai, obviously. But we're still supremely confident that he's going to be an important player to us in the future. So we're going to prioritise what's best for him long term. Get him back to Melbourne, get his wrist operated on, let him enjoy a great time in his life with the arrival of his first child, and give him enough time to prepare well for a pre-season with the Cats.
Chris, winning, if you beat Richmond, you lock up top four, you're well and truly in the top two hunts. Have you guys put any thought in to where a home final could be for the Cats? I guess particularly if you face the Lions, because there's that talk about going to a neutral venue.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the situation is right at the moment. I've heard talk that teams that qualify for home finals might get the choice. Well, we've talked about it a little bit, but I think we're a fair way away from coming to a united position on that as a football department. And to be honest, it's not really foremost in our thinking. We'll be playing... we're happy to play anywhere in Queensland. I mean, I think even the notion of earning a home final this year is a little bit of a furphy. I mean, it's been such an unusual season. Some teams have had home games, some teams haven't. Some teams have been forced to play at genuine opposition grounds, others haven't. We're just not thinking about it. We're thinking about trying to play our best footy. And we'll leave it to the AFL to an extent to choose the finals venues.
Damien Hardwick said yesterday it's going to be a game of control versus chaos. How confident are you can get that control over Richmond's chaos tomorrow night?
Hopeful. But I'm not sure that's exactly right. I think we're more similar than we are different. I know the differences get amplified because with the better teams or the teams towards the top of the ladder, you tend to... narrow in on the things that make them different, when in reality, the things that make them good, the fundamentals of the game, tend to be pretty similar. So the conditions will play a part as well. There's a lot of rain forecast in southeast Queensland over the next 48 hours. So we'll need to adapt to that, as the Tigers will as well. But yeah, there certainly are some contrasting parts to our game style. But the games against the best teams are always a product of who can get the game played more in their style. And then, you know, who can adapt to whatever the conditions present or the changes within the game. Because I suspect the way the game starts won't be the way the game finishes.
I know 4 or 5 weeks ago you were bullish on what a sub Radical Air could provide us and playing the second tall forward. Can you take us through what you've seen in the last couple of weeks with just the one true, pure key in Tom and what the positives are you've seen from that makeup that you like?
Well, the obvious things are Tom's in really good form. So he, if given isolation, he's a pretty hard player to stop. But Richmond have been a good example over the years. They've clearly been the best team over a long period of time. And at least to my observation, a big part of their evolution has been moving away from a predictable style where the ball's always going, you know, to one or two forwards. And, you know, pre-Tom Lynch, they were a very, very good side with really Jack Riewoldt as the only recognised key position player down there. But I think Tom Lynch coming, is a little bit instructive to us. Tom Lynch has clearly helped them. But it was different to the style with Smalls down there and a mobile forward line, which we have right at the moment. But I think really good players in that part of the ground, and I think Radaglia can absolutely be one of those, can complement that system as opposed to being contradictory to it.
That was Chris Scott facing the media today for Prestige Jayco, Australia's number one motorhome dealer.
Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.